Well, it's my turn to preach here this week. So, if you were here, last week was the fruit basket turnover, where all of our campus pastors spoke at a different campus. Doug Jones, the pastor of the Woodbine campus, was here, and all of the others. And then Monday, when we got together for our regular pastors' meeting, there are two things that happened. One, everybody was surprised by how different all of our campuses are. You would think that the easiest thing would be a cookie-cutter approach. We haven't done that. Woodbine is very, very different from Lachlan. Lachlan is very different from Brentwood. Brentwood is very different from Station Hill. Each one has its own personality. And so they were all kind of excited to talk about what they would change or how they would respond if they were the pastor of a different campus. The other thing that happened was the celebration of each one's gifts for being the perfect pastor for that location. If you know anything about Lachlan and East Nashville, then you know David Hanna fits there perfectly. If you know anything about West Franklin, you know Matt Pearson fits there perfectly, and Doug Jones fits perfectly at Woodbine. You and the vision that you have for Middle Tennessee, raising up new pastors, each one of them being different and unique, because there's a reason Baskin-Robbins has 31 flavors, is something that really the rest of the nation is starting to pay, other churches are starting to call us how we do it and why we do it, but it was one of the things that we celebrate. I got to preach in blue jeans last week. And some of you sent me notes saying, don't bring that home. Don't do that. So we're back. We are swapping the order. We do that every now and then because every now and then you need to hear the word, then respond to it. And so this is one of those Sundays. And so if you're coming in expecting the choir, they'll be up in about 20 minutes. So this is one of those times where I get to preach really, really long and then let the musicians adjust to the time that's left, because that's always what they do to me. They'll go 10, 15 minutes long, leave me with like 12 minutes, 10 minutes. And then if we go over, you blame me. Boy, the sermon sure was long today, wasn't it? I didn't think we was ever going to get out of there, wasn't it? So I'm going to preach about 45 minutes and let them shrink everything to about 10 or so. Somewhere Oxano's having a stroke. Oxano, I'm just kidding. So, how do you begin the conversation? That's always the problem, isn't it? What's the first thing you say? A young man sees a pretty young lady across the room. He wants to get to know her, but what does he say? Does he go up and ask for her sign? You know, they had a research project, really, your tax dollars at work. The most effective line to introduce yourself to a girl you don't know. You ready for it? Hi. We needed federal funding to find that one out, didn't we? The job interview, you go in, you want to make a good first impression, you only have a few seconds to make that first impression. What are your first words? How do you begin the conversation? And how do you begin the conversation with God? What would you say? Maybe it's not so important that you know what you would say. As you hear what Jesus says to us first, what is Jesus's first word to us? How does he begin the conversation with us? Forgiven. That's his first word to us. His first word to you, his first word to me. Forgiven. Regardless of what you would want to say, regardless of what you would want to explain away, Jesus' first words to us. Forgiven. So Luke tells us in the story of the crucifixion. Stand with me as we open God's word together. We're in chapter 23, verse 33. And when they arrived at the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And then Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them. For they don't know what they're doing. This is God's word for God's people. Hear it, believe it, and live. Let's pray together. We don't even know where to start. So we're grateful that you do. So for everyone who doesn't yet understand what they have done wrong, will they hear the word forgiven? For all of us who do know what we've done wrong, may we hear that same word forgiven, that the conversation may begin between us and you, but it won't start until we hear forgiven. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Today we begin a sermon series on the seven last words of the cross. Traditionally, the church has used these seven phrases, these seven moments of conversation, as points of devotion, as points of spiritual study and guide as to understand what's happening in the crucifixion, what the crucifixion means. And so we study these seven last words. It will be this sermon series that takes us all the way to Easter. Seven. It is the word, the number of completion in the Bible. There are the four corners of the world, the three persons of the Holy Spirit. So it is everything on earth and everything in heaven. It is everything all together. That's the number seven. So Jesus says seven things on the cross. And the cross, Jesus says everything that needs to be said. And his first word? Forgiveness. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Now let's not misunderstand the surprise of this moment. Go back and read the description of the crucifixion, of what it was like. You know, it was against the law to crucify a Roman citizen. It was that barbaric, that brutal, that dehumanizing, that a Roman citizen could not be crucified. You'll remember in Philippi, when Paul is tortured, he claims his Roman citizenship. And when the people in Philippi realize that he is a Roman citizen, there is somewhat of a reaction, a fear that they have mistreated a Roman citizen. It was a public, disgraceful death meant to remind all the enemies of Rome that this is what happens to you. Usually you were crucified along a road, an intersection, some place where there would be a lot of people who would walk by and be reminded, this is what Rome has the power to do. Jesus was arrested in the middle of the night, paraded between the Roman authorities, the Jewish authorities, back and forth again and again, until they finally had figured out a way to discover, to disguise the action that they wanted Jesus dead. You see, it didn't matter what they convicted him of. The only thing that mattered was, at the end of the story, Jesus was dead. Mark tells us early in his gospel that when Jesus confronted the religious leaders, that they began to meet with their political enemies so they could find a way to get rid of Jesus. And now everything had come together, or so they thought. They found a way to arrest Jesus away from his followers without creating a riot. Jesus was tortured, beaten with a cat of nine tails, a leather whip with bits of stone, glass tied in the end of the strips, so that when the whip hit you, it would dig into your flesh. And when the soldier yanked the whip back, he would yank back chunks of flesh. Most people died in the beating alone. 40 lashes would kill a person. You couldn't give more than 40 lashes. So they would always give 39 in case they had miscounted. They would blindfold him, and they would hit him and say, "Tell us, prophet, which one of us hit you?" They grabbed his beard and pulled it out, chunks of hair at a time. They mashed the crown of thorns, woven briars for a crown. And they humiliated him. They made him carry the crossbeam to his place of execution. He collapsed on the way. Then they drove railroad spikes through his wrist, right between those two bones in your arm, into the wood of the cross, dropped the cross piece into place, and when they did, it would pull his shoulders out of socket. And Jesus would begin to suffocate as his collarbones collapsed on his windpipe. The person crucified would push up against the nail driven into their feet to try to breathe. Sometimes it would take you days to die. And there's Jesus. Between two thieves, and Jesus' first response, the first thing he said, I wouldn't have been surprised it had been the second thing. I would have thought the first thing would have been, help me make it through this. I'm doing what you wanted me to do, Father. I'm being obedient to the call you had given me. Now help me make it through this. It's not. It's looking at the faces of the soldiers who were professional killers. It's recognizing the voice of the religious leaders who had lied about him. It's seeing the faces of friends too frightened to defend him. And in that moment, he has an intimate conversation with his father. I want you to do this for me. Dad, I want you to do this for me. Forgive them. Now, you and I would say they haven't asked to be forgiven. They haven't said anything about being forgiveness. Let them come to us, explain how they're wrong. Let them feel bad about what they've done to us. Let them suffer a little bit for the wrong they have done. Then, out of my goodness and out of my largeness of heart, I will forgive them. That's the way it works, right? If you have been wounded, you have the power. I will forgive you. Big of me, huh? Right. Jesus forgives you and me before we have realized we have done anything wrong. I don't need forgiveness, you will say. I haven't done anything wrong. What's Jesus' word to me? Forgiven. Why? Because sooner or later you will know what you've done. How many times have I heard it? The moment when the consequences come home to somebody who has made a stupid decision. Mike, if I had only known how I would hurt those who love me, if I had only known what this would do to me, if I had only known. See, sometimes you really don't know. Sometimes you really don't get it. And you're forgiven even before you do. Because that moment when you do realize it is awful. When it hits you what you have done, and his first word to you, forgiven. Forgiven. Can you imagine the conversation? When you don't know what to say, don't know what to do, and you finally get the courage to approach Jesus, you're trying to find the words to say, and you hear him begin the conversation by looking at you and saying, forgiven. Do you remember the story of the prodigal son? Do you remember that story? And the prodigal son's in the pig pen, he says, you know, my father's servants do better than this. If I'm going to be somebody's slave, I'll go home and be my dad's slave. And he starts home. Do you remember the story? He practices the whole way home. I'm going to tell my father, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. I just want to be a servant. You remember what happened? The father saw him while he was still a long way off and started to run. Now, you don't get the funny part of that story, because in those days, men wore long robes. You didn't run anywhere. It was hot. Nobody ran. Okay? Now we have a father who runs. So what's the funny part? He has to pick up his robe. And he's got to run. So now we got this white leg, bony leg man running across the thing, in his robes, yelling for his son. And he finally gets there, and the son does the speech. I'm sorry, I've sinned against you, I've sinned against heaven. And what does the father say? Nothing. Never responds to his son. Tells his servants what to do. Prepare the banquet. My son who was lost is now found. My son who was dead is now alive. Forgiven. First word. Forgiven. But you don't know what I have done, Mike. No. I don't have to. His first word to you is forgiven. But, no buts, before you even understand all that you've done wrong, his word to you is forgiven. I doubt that Jesus had the strength to say that very loud. There would have been those who were close to him who heard it. There would have been others who said, what did he say? He said, you're forgiven. You and I have friends who haven't heard yet what Jesus has said. So find a time this week and remind them. Jesus said they're forgiven. Seven words. Seven phrases. Jesus said everything that needed to be said. He said it on the cross. And his first word, forgiven. Let's pray together. With your eyes closed, heads bowed. I don't know the details of your journey. I don't know the details of your life. Here's what I know. Jesus' word to you this morning is forgiven. Before you ever confess, before you ever repent, forgiven. It's where the conversation starts. It's where it has to. We're forgiven. Don't leave this place carrying the burden, the anxiety, the frustration of sins for which you've already been forgiven. Lord Jesus, now welcome us into your presence. Receive our worship as we celebrate